And we're holding on Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph by the two dots, eight lines from the top. We started discussing yesterday the question of Eidim Zomimin, or even one individual aid that was found to be Zomim. We say that he's a Rosha, and therefore he's Posel Eidos. Is it that he's Posel Eidos from then on, which was Rava's position, or even retroactively to when he originally said the Eidos, which now we only discovered later on, that he was an Eid Zomim? That would be according to Abaya. We said there were two reasons behind behind Rava's Svara. So Abaya had said, because look, you know, it turns out that his Eidos was false. Therefore, obviously, his Posel was an Eidos. So we said, according to Rava, two possibilities, either because the whole concept of Eidim Zomimin is a Chiddush, that we should believe the second set of Eidim over the first, and therefore, Ein L'chobay L'chiddush, that there's a limit where we can only apply the Chiddush itself to only insofar as, fine, once they become Eidim Zomimin, then they're Eidim Zomimin, not to go and make it retroactive. Or the other possibilities, we said, Bishum Pseidah D'Lakuchas, because we don't want people are going to have used these Eidim for other things, for example, for buying fields and writing a shtar on them, and then it's going to turn out that the aid was false, and now they're going to lose out. So the Gemara says, Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, let's look at our Mishnah and see which opinion. So we ended up saying the halacha is like Abaya, but this is one of the six cases where the halacha is like Abaya, but now we're going to analyze this point further and see whether we can actually bring proofs one way or the other to them, so or against them. So the Gemara says Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, Gonav al Pishnayim, you had a person stole, and there were two Edim that he had stolen, the Tavach HaMachar al Pihem, and the same Edim also said they shechted or stole the animal, the Nimtzer Zomimin, and it turned out that these Edim are Edim Zomimin. So we said now they have to pay for everything. They have to pay the entire tashlumei above chamisha because they were trying to deprive him of chamisha. They were trying to deprive him of five times the value of the. They were trying to deprive him of five times the value of the animal, four times of what was sheep, of course. And therefore, so like any other case of edim zemin kasher zamam vasi somlo kasher zamam. So therefore, we were mechayev them to pay for the entire thing. Now the Gemara says, "My love, she idrala gneva v'chazru behi idrala tvicha." Shouldn't we assume that we're talking about where first they said Eidos that he had stolen, later on they said Eidos, their Beis Din had listened to their testimony that the guy had stolen. Then they said, "Oh, and also the next day he shechted or stole the animal," and then. So now let's say they were found to be Edim Zomimin on the Gneva, and then they were found to be Edim Zomimin on the Tvicha as well, on the Shechting as well. So if we assume, I mean, after all, the Mishnah hadn't specified what order they were found Zomimin and what order they had testified, so we have to assume across the board that we're talking about no matter what the situation is, even a case like that. Now, if you're going to tell me that the Edim, like Abaya says, are Posel Mafreya, from when they first gave the Eidos, even though we didn't yet discover at the time that they were Eidim Zomimin, but now we find out that in fact all of their now we find that all of their Eidos was Muzam. So therefore we should say that so they're the Mafreya who Nifsel. Well then Hani, so let's consider it. So these people, given to Itzumulahu Agneva, once they were declared Zomimin on the grounds of on the Gneva, that they were found, it was found that they had said he stole and other Edom came and said he mono haisim, Iglaim Milsal Mafreya. So now it comes out, we find out retroactively, to ki ashadu atvicha, that when they testified about the shechting, psul and habu. At that point, they were posel. Amai masham and atvicha. So why are they paying the extra three times for the tvicha when they weren't kosher edim? And the whole concept of edim zomimin required that they're kosher edim, or at least as far as we knew until then, they were kosher edim. And now we find out that somebody is coming, that people are coming and being mazim them like this. According to Abaya, that mafreya hu nifsal. The point is that now it turns out that so once we find they were once we were mazim them on the gneva, then the when then we say retroactively it turns out when they testified about the tvicha there was nothing new because they weren't valid edim at that point, as it turns out now. So therefore they should only have to pay the tashlumei kefil. Why are they having to pay the extra amount?
In fact, Tosfos says the Gemara could have asked the question really on Rava as well. Even if you say Mikanal Habon Lo Nifsal, don't you have a Mikanal Habon Nifsal? Don't you have the issue? Don't you have the issue anyway that, as we learned previously, Imen Gneva Ein Tvicha Ve Ein Mechira. If there's no Eidos on the Gneva, then the Eidos on the Tvicha Mechira is meaningless, because then it could just as well be that he shechted his own animal or sold his own animal. So even according to Rava, once we were mazim them on the Gneva, then shouldn't that be enough? That now anyway they're not chayev for anything other than the kefil for the Gneva. And Tosfos says, fine, because you could say, as we're going to talk about later on the base, you have a concept called hakosha tchilas hazomehi, that when other edim come and contradict them, that can already be considered to be the beginning of the process of hazoma. So therefore, we can say that. So we would say that we were mazim them on the Gneva. We haven't yet contradicted them about the Tvicha. Nevertheless, we would still say that the Tvicha is still open over there, because we're going to have to see what happens with that. We can't just throw out the Eidos on the Tvicha yet until we figure out what we're going to do with them for having lied about the Eidos about the Gneva. So according to Rava, it's not such a problem. So fine, we're going to say that from then on, from when we declared them Edom Zomim, and at that point they're possible Eidos in the future, but now we were mazim them only on one part, and we have to yet see what happens, whether we can be mazim them on the second part yet. But the question is, on Abaya, who said that it turns out that retroactively they were puzzle, so then in that case, then how are they ever chayev for the payment for the extra amount for the extra tashlum for the tashlum abba v'chamisha. So the Gemara answer is so the answer is Amri. So the answer, Hochab Maya Skinen, going to who's more like Tvicha Tchila. Okay, necessarily, according to Abaya, you would have to answer that first they were Muslim on the Shechting. So first other Adam came and said, when you said that you said that he shechted it on such and such a date, but at that time Imonu Hayisim, you were with us elsewhere. So therefore, so now. At this point, as far as we know, we still have valid Eidos as far as the Gneva. Later on, it turns out there were Edom Zomim on the Gneva as well. So now, at that point, they're Edom Zomim on the entire thing. Therefore, they're Chayev for the entire thing. It's true, according to Abaya, if they had been Mazim them first on the Gneva, then we might well say they wouldn't be Chayev for the extra payments for the Tvicho Mechira, because it turns out retroactively there was no Eidos on the Gneva at all. But here we're talking about that there was, in fact, at the time when we were mazim them on the shechting, on the tvicho mechira, there was still eidos on the gneva, and only later do we discover that eidos is no good. So therefore Abaya would say we could be mechayim. So the Gemara says, Amri, but they ask, what do you mean? Sof, ki hadri mitzim miagneva. Fine, but after all, when we end up making them, when we end up being mazim them on the gneva, so it comes out now retroactively. Now we realize that when they had testified about the shechting of the animal, it turns out they were apostle. Because again, according to Abaya, they're apostle retroactively. So amai mashal miat tvicha. So you still have the question, why are they paying for the tvicha? And the answer is, the Gemara says v'hilchasa, so you have to say the answer would be, now v'hilchasa usually means the halacha is, sometimes the Gemara uses the expression v'hilchasa to mean the answer is, especially when the answer is according to the actual halacha, since as we said, the halacha is like a baya in this case of Eid Zoyman l'mafreya honif, so then therefore the Gemara introduces the answer, what would be the case of the Mishnah, what would be the scenario of the Mishnah, which according to, which would fit with what Abaya is saying, would be where they said the Eidos on the stealing and on the Tvicha, or Bavasachas, meaning Toch Kedei Dibur, as we're going to talk about now in the rest of the Sugya. We're going to talk about the whole matter of Eidos Toch Kedei Dibur. So now they said the Toch Kedei Dibur. They said Yankel stole this animal and he shechted it, or Toch Kedei Dibur. And therefore, so now when we Vehuzmu, and then we find that they're Eidim Zomim. So now, since they were made b'vasachas, you can't say at the time of the Eidos on the Tvicha they were posel, because Rashi explains, even if we say like a Bayel, a Freyah Nifso, it was Toch Kedei Dibur, and as far so therefore, if we consider them valid Eidim by the first part of the statement, then we consider them still valid Eidim by the second part, because it was all Toch Kedei Dibur, and therefore we can follow the usual rules of Asisim Leitashas on them. Now Rashi brings that you shouldn't. Then Rashi had a girsa in front of him that said that it was also that they were mazim them all at once, and Rashi rejects that girsa because he says as far as hazama, it doesn't matter whether they were mazim them all at once or one after the other. Even if they were mazim them, so you had two other edim came and said imonu hayisim at the time when you claim he stole it, and two other edim came and said imonu hayisim at the time when you claim he shechted it. It wouldn't matter whether it was that or whether two other edim came and said during that whole period of time when you said he stole it and shechted it, during that entire period of time you were elsewhere with us, it wouldn't matter, Rashi says. Either way, we would still say, since the original Eidos was Vasachas, so we don't consider it two separate statements of Eidos, we consider it one big statement, and therefore we can still say, even according to Abaya, the Mafreyahu Nifso, there's no two Eidosin that we can say one of them is kosher, and one of them, it turns out, retroactively was not an Eidos. Rather, we say the whole thing was a valid Eidos, and now that we found that was Eidim Zimmerman, then we're going to apply the penalties of Eidim Zimmerman to them. That's according to Rashi. Tosfos discusses that that maybe it's not so, and they have some questions, and they have some questions on Rashi, and they discuss that the Gemara had started with the assumption that again we talked just a minute ago about the matter of hakosha tchivas hazama when suppose. Hakosha Tchilas Hazama means like this. Suppose that Reuven and Shimon come and testify to something in Beis Din. Now, as we talked about yesterday, you have Hakosha, which is, for example, that Levi and Yehuda come and say it can't be true because, for example, you're saying Yankel was Mechalel Shabbos and Yankel was with us someplace else. Or no, we were watching Yankel at the same time you said and he was not Mechalel Shabbos, or whatever it is. That would be called hakosha. That's not hazama. We don't punish the first set of edim. We say the two sets of edim cancel each other out. Hazama, we said, is when they say imanu hayisim. Now, what happens if a second set of edus comes and says, first of all, it can't be that Yankel was Mechalel Shabbos because he was with us someplace else. And second of all, it can't be, even if that weren't so, you can't testify to it because you were with us someplace else. So now, do we say once the Hakosha was done, once they contradicted the first set's Eidos by saying Yankel wasn't there at the time, does that mean we throw out the Eidos right away? Or do we say that no, actually, we have to wait and see if they're able to be Mazim as well, and then we're still going to apply Hazam? So Tosfos discusses that right now the Gemara is starting with the understanding that Hakosha Tchivas Hazamahi, and therefore would it make a difference then what order these Adim's statements were contradicted in? And now we're saying that it doesn't really necessarily matter, that as long as they said the two Adison together at the same time, then it doesn't matter what happened with the Hazama. And Tosfos says that it's a style of the Gemara. The Gemara is not dealing with other side questions that you can have on this. The Gemara is sticking with the actual question that we asked in terms of that you're thinking Hakosha Tchilas Hazamahi, and you're thinking therefore that how can you make it that you're going to have two Adosin, that you're going to have two testimonies where one is going to be kosher and they're on the face of it, according to Abaye, the other one is possible. Well, how can you be Machayev him for the second one when it wasn't even Eidos? And the answer is that they gave the Eidos B'vasachas, and that's that. So then afterwards, the Hazama, it doesn't really matter for our purposes whether Hazama happened at once or whether it happened or whether it was one after the other. Okay. So there's no contradiction from our Mishnah on Abaye. The Gemara says lema katanoi. Should we have to say that this machlokas Abaya and Rava about the Edim Zimmerman is actually a machlokas tanoim? Because a brisa says bo yishnai meidin oisah shagonav. Suppose that two people say on a person Eidos that he stole, the hein meidin oisah shetovach, The same two Edim say that he also shechted the animal, v'huzmu al gneva, and then we found that there was zoymimin about the gneva, that turns out that they were elsewhere at the time. Other Edim came and say they were elsewhere when they claimed that he had done the stealing. Then we say the rule, edus shebotla miktsasa, botla kula, then we would say that an edus, where part of it is botla, the whole thing is botla, meaning, like we said before, once there's no edus on the gneva, then the fact that they said edus, that he shechted it, is meaningless, because it could just as well be his own animal, so they're only going to pay, as edim zim, and they're only going to pay kefil, because that's all they were trying to deprive him of. They were trying to deprive him of the whole five times, but since we're saying that once they were mazim them on the gneva, then the rest of the testimony doesn't mean anything, then therefore we can only be mechayev them kefil. What about huzmu ala tvicha? What about, continues the braisa, what about if they were muzam only on the shechting of the animal? So now, in other words, so on the face of it, so their edus that he stole the animal still is upheld, and it's only now they were refuted about the tvicha, that turns out that we find out imonu hayisim, they were elsewhere at the time they claim he shechted the animal. So then hu mashalim tashlumi kefil? So the ganav himself is going to be kefil, because they have this valid edus that he stole. And they, the Edim, who are now Edim Zim, are going to have to pay three times, because that's what they were trying to deprive him of. But Rabbi Yossi continues, when would that apply? Only when you have two testimonies. And we're going to explain now in the Gemara what we mean by two testimonies. But when we have one testimony, then Rabbi Yossi says, edus shebotla mechtsasa, botla kula, then yes, we would say that an edus that's partially botla is completely botla, meaning, in other words, again, that there's nothing to talk about the tvicha or mechira unless we have edus that he stole. So we have to first figure out, before we can say that this machlokas of Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim has to do with the machlokas of Abaye and Rabba, so we have to clarify the situation. First of all, my b'shtei edus, so my b'edus achas. What does that expression mean? Two testimonies and one testimony. What does that mean? Ilema b'shtei edus means b'shtei edus mamish, means b'shtei kitos. So in other words, are you going to say b'shtei edus, Rabbi Yossi is talking about when he had two sets of edim? One set came and said that he stole, and the other set came and said that he shechted. And be'edus achas would mean b'vasachas, b'zeachazeh, and then be'edus achas would mean it's the same set of edim, and they're saying b'zeachazeh. First they testify on Sunday that he stole the animal, and then they come back on Monday and testify that he shechted the animal. Well, you're going to say ki masadi agneva. So now, when they give edus about the gneva, v'hod masadi atvicha, and then they're giving edus about the tvicha, then we can say kimitzimi at tvicha. So then we might say that when we find them to be edim zomim on the tvicha, we would say edus shabotam ktsasa botla kula the itzimul huagneva. Then, in other words, we say that the edus on the gneva has also been cancelled out, because once we find them to be edim zomim on the tvicha, then it's when we say like abaya that mafreya hu nifso, it turns out that there was no valid edus. On the gneva in the first place, because we're now the Gemara is using the word itzimu, which usually means they were muzam, but here we don't mean that. Here we just mean Rashi explains it means just that edus is bottle. There's no edus to talk about, because once we find that they were edim zemimin on the tvicha, it turns out that they, according to Abaye, that they were never valid edim in the first place. So therefore, their edus about the gneva there's no edus, because you need valid edim to give edus, and they didn't do it. So then the question is, though, mehechi tesi hach. But where is Rabbi Yossi getting that from? Why should we say, because we were mevatel the edus of the tvicha mechira, therefore automatically that should be mevatel the edus and the gneva? Why? Just because on the face of it, just because we were mazim them. So what is Rabbi Yossi saying? B'shtei edus, he's saying that we break things up. But when it's be'edus achas, edus shabot the mitzasa bot lakula, well, why indeed is Rabbi Yossi saying that? Why would he say that if we canceled out the edus on the tvicha, then automatically that cancels out the edus on the gneva? The other way around, we can understand, because if we cancel out the Eidos on the Gneva, then the Tvicha or Mechira is meaningless. But if we canceled out the Eidos on the Tvicha, the fact is we have Eidos from them that he stole. Why should we not apply Vasisim Loikasha Zaman and make them have to pay for that? El Alav. Obviously, rather, we have to understand Rav Yossi to be saying, B'shtei Eidos means B'eidos Achas Ke'en Shtei Eidos. What does Rav Yossi mean? When he says two Eidos, he means one Eidos, which is like two Eidos, U'mayniu Bas'achas B'zachavzeh. So in other words, so they come and they say Eidos, B'vasachas, one after the other. So they come on the, they come and they say that, they come on Tuesday and they say on Sunday he stole it and on Monday he shechted it. So what they're saying is B'vasachas, but they're speaking about two different events that happen at two different times. And then Be'edusachas would mean Be'edusachas. Be'edusachas would mean that. Be'edusachas would mean where it's all one edus where they say together that he shechted and that he stole and he shechted. So then the difference would be so that would be Be'edusachas. So we would say. So we would say, but if it was all one Eidos and it was all B'vasachas, then we would not say that. We would not say that he pays kefil. So the difference would be, in other words, Rabbi Yossi would be drawing a distinction. When they testified that he stole on one day and shechted it on another day, then we mazim them on the tvicha. You still have the Eidos on the gneva. So therefore, he's still chayev to pay for the kefil. But if they give one Eidos, meaning all at once they come and say that he shechted and stole, and then we find that their Edom Zomin, then he's not paying anything because now we've canceled out their whole Edos. So now if we understand Rabbi Yossi that way, then let's consider further. So it comes out Rabbi Yossi is saying, in other words, that just because we passed one part of their Edos is not necessarily a reason to pass all the rest of it. Only when they did Eidos Achas B'vas Achas, they said he stole and shechted the animal all one after the other. And Savruha. Furthermore, the Bnei HaYeshiva who brought up this question that isn't this machloikas Abaye and Rabba, the same as the machloikas of the Chachamim and Rabbi Yossi, they thought to say that everybody would agree. That when you have two things take place, the toch kedei dibur, then it's considered as though kedibur dami, it's considered as one long statement, which has implications in many cases in halacha. So do we in fact hold that way? So if they say that Yankel stole the animal and shechted it, and they said that all toch kedei dibur, we would consider it one long statement. Well, then, in that case, and yet the Chachamim are not making a distinction. They're saying always Eidos Shabbat Mektsasa Batla Kula, whether it was one statement or two. And Rabbi Yossi is drawing a distinction whether it was one statement or two. Well, that being the case. So Maila Bahoka Miflegi. Wouldn't that mean then that the Machloikas between Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim is as follows? The Rabbanan Savri Mikano La Bahu Nifsel. The Chachamim are going to hold these posel only from now on. Therefore, the kivin demahi shaita komitzimi. So only from when they become posel and not lamafreya, like Rava says. Then therefore atvicha hu dekomitzimi utzum. So therefore, they were only declared zomimin only about the tvicha. Agneva deloy mitzimi loy itzum. As far as the gneva, where they were not declared to be edim zomimin about the gneva itself. So that edus has not been cancelled out. So therefore we would make him chayev still for the actual gneva itself. It's true, Rashi points out they did say it together, but nevertheless their psul only began, according to Rava, their psul doesn't begin from then that their whole edus was muzam. The fact is when they say when they say the Eidos, then they're possible Eidos. Then at that point, we can hold them responsible for the fact that they were Eidim Zomim and punish them. But we're not going to say that we cancel out the whole Eidos because the Tanakama, the Chachamim, would hold like Rava that says that they're not possible Mafreya, they're only possible Mikano Laba. Now, so Mefroshim point out there is a distinction you can draw between whether the when we say that we cancel out the eidos of the tvicha, that means only as far as things that apply from then on. But as far as the eidos itself, we're not going to say in this case eidos shabat the mitzasa bat lachula. The result is we still have an eidos on the geneva, and therefore we're going to be mechayev him kefil for that, and we're mechayev them the three times only for the rest of it. So that would be because after all the hotot kedibur kedibur drami. Because after all. So I skipped a couple of lines. So that's according to the Chachamim. We would say only whatever we were mazim naman is what's possible, and therefore that's what they have to pay for. Whatever we weren't mazim naman, they're not possible. So we still have a valid eidos on geneva. Therefore, he has to pay kefil for that. Rabbi Yosi Sova l'mafreya hu nifsel. Rabbi Yosi is going to hold like Abaya, who says that they're possible retroactively. V'kiven demiyad ki ashidu. So since as soon as they give Eidos, it turns out retroactively that they were possible, because now we find they were Eidim Zomim, and it turns out that their whole testimony to begin with was a lie. Therefore, Rabbi Yossi is going to say, when they were declared Eidim Zomim about the Shechting, then they're also Muzam as far as the Gneva. So now their Eidos about the Gneva is also possible. And they, again, we're using the word itzum in a looser sense to mean that their Eidos on the Gneva is possible. So in other words, there's no valid Eidos there at all. And then because after all, we're going to say that both Rabbi Yossi and the Chacham agree that Toch Kedibur is considered Kedibur Dami. So Rabbi Yossi would say, it's true, it's considered one long statement, but because it's considered one long statement, then as soon as we're mazim them on one, automatically the other one goes with it, and therefore that would be like a bayah that says, l'mafreya hu nifsal. So it would come out, the Chachamim hold like Rava, and a bayah would hold like, and Rabbi Yossi would hold like a bayah, or a bayah would hold like Rabbi Yossi. So is that in fact the case? And as usual, we have the question, in that case, then why are the Amoraim giving the same machlokas? Why don't they just say, Rava says I hold like the Chachamim, and Abaya says I hold like Rabbi Yossi? So the answer is, the Gemara answer is no. Amri, they answer back, yes, if you're going to say that Toch Kedibur is Kedibur Dami, we do consider it as though it was all considered one long statement, one long Eidos, then you're right to Kula Amalam Afreyahu Nifso. Actually, no. Then we would say everybody agrees with Abaya that they are posel mafreya, and as soon as we're mazim them on the tvicha, on the shechting, then everything is gone, and therefore we say that, there's no edus on the gneva in the first place, and therefore the chachamim are going to say edus shabot the mitzasa bot lakula, and therefore we can't be mechayev them anything, because even though they were edim zemimin, the fact is it doesn't turn out retroactively that there was any valid edus to begin with that he stole, because we found that they were false edim at that time, and therefore their edus is not an edus. So rather, Elohacha b'toch kedibur kedibur dami kamiflagi. The machloikas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yossi can be precisely about that point. When two things happen, toch kedibur, is it considered all the same dibur? Is it considered all the same statement? Or not? So did Rabbanan Savri toch kedibur lav kedibur dami? The Chachamim are going to hold that toch kedibur is not considered kedibur. So therefore, even though they said all Toch Kedibur, Yankel stole this animal and shechted it, nevertheless, we're going to break it up into two separate Eidosin. And therefore, we're going to say that, yes, we were Mevatel, the Eidos of the Tvicha, because we found them to be Eidim Zemmin. That doesn't cancel out the original Eidos on the Gneva, and therefore we can still be, therefore we can still be Mechayev then. We can still be Mechayev him, rather. The Ganav is still going to be Chayev Kefil, because we're going to say the Lamafreya hu Nifsol, but we're going to say that when we find there was Zomim on the second one, then nevertheless, we still have a valid Eidos on the first one, on the fact that he stole, and therefore we're going to be Mechayev him. Rabbi Yossi Sava, Toch Kedibur, Kedibur Dami, Rabbi Yossi is going to hold, because after all, even Abaya, who says Lamafreya hu Nifsal, is only talking about Lamafreya back to when they said the Eidos, that became Muzam. So now, like this, they said he stole, and nobody came to be Mazim on that. Now they say he shechted, and somebody came to be Mazim that. When we say Lamafreya hu Nifsal, we don't mean that any Eidos throughout his life that he ever said is possible. We mean back to when he said this Eidos, that now we found was Muzam. So now, even according to Abaya, then we're going to say we're only so all we can be mazim then, since Rabbi Yossi is going to hold that, since the Chachamim rather are going to hold that Toch Kedibur Lav Kedibur Dami, they're going to say the fact is we have two different testimonies over here. Number one that Yankel stole, and number two that Yankel shechted the animal. So fine, we're mazim them on the shechita. That passels their edus as far as the shechita and makes that from that point and on they're considered edim zomim, like Abaya says, and therefore they're reshoim and psulim the edus, like Abaya says, la mafreya. Nevertheless, though, that doesn't go any further back than when they said that when they said he shechted it. We never brought edim zomim that said that he didn't steal it. Therefore, we still have to hold him responsible for the stealing. As far as that, we still consider they were kosher edim. Meanwhile, Rabbi Yossi is going to hold Toch Kedibur is considered Kedibur, so it is considered one long statement. So therefore, when we're mazim them on the Tzvicha, then automatically the Gneva goes with it. Therefore, Rabbi Yossi is going to say that in that case, we can't be Mechayev him anything because there's no Eidos against him at all. Well, the Gemara asks the Sava Rabbi Yossi Toch Kedibur Kedibur Dami. So you're telling me then that Rabbi Yossi holds that two things that happen, Toch Kedibur, are considered like one long statement. V'hatnan, we learn in a Mishnah in Masechta Tmura that seems to say differently. Where we have in Masechta Tmura, you have the whole concept of Tmura. A person wants to exchange an animal of Kodshim for an animal of Chulin, and the Torah says he's not allowed to do that. And if he does, he gets Malkus, and then V'hoyahu Tmura Siya Kodesh, both animals become Kodesh. So now you have a case where a person says about a chulin animal, harezu tmuras oila tmuras shlomim. So suppose the person has already one animal for an oila, he has one animal for a shlomim, and now he takes a third animal and says, I want this animal to be a tmura of the oila, a tmura of the shlomim. So which is it? Harezu tmuras oila divir Reb Meir. Reb Meir says it becomes only a tmura of an oila because Reb Meir says that since you have two statements that contradict one another, therefore, according to Reb Meir, we say tfois loshen rishon. We have to grab on to the first loshen, and therefore, the result is that once he said harezu tmuras oila, then we have to stop him there. He can't make it a tmura of something else once it now has the kedusha of an oila, and therefore, when he says tmuras shlomim, then it's ineffective. That's Reb Meir. Reb Yossi Omer. Reb Yossi says no. Im lekach niskaven mitchila. If he actually meant to begin with, he wanted it to be a tmura of both of them. Just the fact is, hoyo ve'ef shel liquis shnei shemis kachod. The fact is, he's not able to say the word oila and shlomim at the same instant. Necessarily, he has to say one of them first. Then Reb Yossi would say dvarav kayomin. What he said is valid. Because it's not that according to Reb Meir, in other words, in effect, what we say is he said it's a tmuras oila and then wanted to change his mind and make it a tmuras shlomim, and that doesn't work. It's already a tmuras oila. Reb Yossi is saying that if he meant this to begin with, then no, we don't say he changed his mind. We said he actually meant for both of them to be chal. So therefore, both of them are chal. Now, of course, you can't bring an animal as a half oila, half shlomim. What you actually have to do, Rashi brings from the Gemara is over there, you have to wait till it develops a mum, then you sell it and use half the money towards an oila and half the money towards a shlomim. Anyway, so that's what Rabbi Yossi says. Vahavinan ba. Now, and then Rabbi Yossi continues. V'im oma tmuras oila v'nimlach v'oma tmuras shlomim. However, Rabbi Yossi continues that if he said tmuras oila and then he changed his mind and said tmuras shlomim, then Rabbi Yossi agrees. Harezu tmuras oila. Then it's only a tmura of an oila because once he said it's a tmura of an oila, it's too late to make it anything else. Vahavinan ba. Now, in the Gemara and Tmura, we have a question on that. Nimlach pshita. Obviously, if he changed his mind, it's poshut that he can't do that. It's already a tmuras oila, and he can't change his mind. Why would Rabbi Yossi even have to mention that point? Ve'omer a papa. Answer a papa explains. Nimlach b'toch kedei dibur kamrinan. We don't just mean nimlach. Obviously, if he nimlach a day later or an hour later or whatever, of course it's too late. Nimlach means that he changed his mind. B'toch kedei dibur. And Rabbi Yossi is saying no. Toch kedei dibur. Lav kedibur dami. When he says a new statement, so he said tmuras oila. And within Toch kedei dibur, he changes his mind and wants to say tmuras shlomim. Rabbi Yossi would say it's too late. So Tosfos points out, now there are cases where we will say that it's valid. We can say as far as explaining what he was going to say, that's valid within Toch Kedei Dibur, even according to Rabbi Yossi. But what we're saying is, when he wants to contradict what he said before, then that wouldn't work. So we see that Rabbi Yossi holds that Torah kedibur is lav kedibur gami. So he holds that even though two things were said Torah kedibur, they don't count as one long statement. Otherwise, we would say that if he did that, then the animal is in fact the tmura of an oila, half tmuras oila, half tmuras shlomim. And we don't say that. He's saying that nimlach, and Akumra Papa is explaining that nimlach means he changed his mind with Torah kedibur, and still it doesn't help, and it's already a tmuras oila, and he can't change his mind. So we see Rabbi Yossi holds that even Torah kedibur, you can't change your mind. So how can we explain before, as far as the case with the edim of the tvicha and mechira, that of the gneva and of the tvicha and mechira, that Rabbi Yossi would count it all as one long edus because it was Torah kedibur? So the answer is Amri. So they answered. Shrei Torah kedibur hafen. There are two definitions of Torah kedibur. One is the amount of time that it would take a Talmud to ask to ask after his Rebbe's Shalom, where he doesn't just say Shalom Alecha, he says Shalom Alecha Rabbi Umoy. That's slightly longer. The other one is the amount of time that it would take for the Rav to greet his Talmud. Right. Tosfos, by the way, points out this Gemara in Brachos that implies that a Talmud should not be greeting his Rebbe anyway. So Tosfos answers, that's what it means. In other words, if he just says Shalom Alecha rather than Shalom Alecha Rebbe, then that would be disrespectful. But if he says Shalom Alecha Rebbe or Shalom Alecha Rebbe or Mordi, then that's fine. That is the respectful way. That is the respectful way to say it. There are different gersos among Rishonim whether the word Mordi belongs over here or not. Is Torah kedibur, and this is relevant all over in many places in halacha, is Torah kedibur defined as the time it takes to say the four words Shalom Alecha Rebbe or Mordi, or only the three words Shalom Alecha Rebbe? It's machlokas rishonim. So the point is, you have that, then you have just the time that it takes to say Shalom Alecha, which is the amount of time that the Rebbe would take to say to his Talmud, because obviously he's not saying Rebbe or Mordi. So we would say ki lesli l'Rav Yossi shalom ki lesli l'Rav Yossi. When does Rav Yossi not hold that it's all considered one thing? That would be k'day she'ilas tamad l'Rav shalom alecha Rebbe Yomodi d'nafish. Only the longer amount of time, the time it takes for the Talmud to say to his Rebbe shalom alecha Rebbe Yomodi, which is a longer amount of time, Rav Yossi says that's too long to keep it all to consider it all as one long statement. But but to say that two things that are said that are said within the amount of time that it would take to say Shalom Alecha Rebbe or Shalom Alecha without even Rebbe or Mordi, even Rabbi Yossi would agree that's considered all one statement. And so therefore, so when it comes to Eidos, and then we're talking about where they said he shechted, and then within the amount of time, where he stole rather, and within the amount of time that it takes to say Shalom Alecha, they added, and he stole it. So then that would be considered, even according to Rabbi Yossi, would be considered one long edus. And therefore we would say that, again, so now in the case before, we said if now Edom came and remazim them about the tvicha, about the shechting, then Rabbi Yossi would say that means the entire Edos has been cancelled out, because we would say, l'mafreya hu nifso, like Abaya, so therefore the whole Edos has been cancelled out, therefore there's nothing to be mechayev, the ganav, and they themselves are going to be the ones who are chayev to pay. As opposed to, if it was the longer amount of time, the time that it takes to say Shalom Alecha Rebbe or Mordi, Rabbi Yossi would not consider that one statement. And in the case of Tmura, therefore, that's what Rabbi Yossi is talking about. He said Harezu Tmuras Ola, and then within the amount of time, after the amount of time it takes to say Shalom Alecha, but before the time it takes to say Shalom Alecha Rebbe or Mordi, he said, and a Tmura of a Shlomim, Rabbi Yossi would say, that we already call that Nimlach, we already call it. He's trying to change his mind, and therefore it doesn't work, it's too late. And it's considered that it's a tmuras oila. And in the case of the edim, it would mean that it would be two separate testimonies. And therefore, for mazim them on one, then it doesn't affect the other. And therefore, the ganav would still have to be paying for the first one. Okay, so we can explain the machloikas of Rabbi Yossi and the chachamim that way. They're not arguing on the same point of eid zomim l'mafreya or l'habahu nifsa like Abaya and Rabba, but rather they're arguing on a different point about whether we consider two things b'toch kedibur. K'bit kedibur dami, the chachamim would say we don't at all. Rabbi Yossi would say we don't when it's the longer toch kedibur, but we would when it's the shorter toch kedibur, which is the amount of time it would take to say shalom alecha. We have, again, there are different other places in Shas where it talks about the idea of Toch Kedei Dibur, and generally we do consider that Toch Kedei Dibur is considered Kedibur Dami. It usually is considered all part of the same statement for many purposes in Halacha. The basis behind that, the Halachic theory behind that, why that works, you have different Rishonim talk about. Is it Daraisa? Is it maybe only Dirabonon? Tosfos points out in Baba Basra, for example, or I think the Rashbam points out there that the vote is, Suppose you have a person is buying something in the marketplace, and meanwhile his Rebbe passes by, and it would only be respectful for him to say Shalom Alecha to his Rebbe. So if we don't allow him to change his mind on what he said, then he's going to have a problem. On the one hand, he's going to have to greet his Rebbe. On the other hand, then he's going to be locked into what he said. Therefore, the Chachamim gave him a break, gave him the amount of time. It says to say Shalom Alecha Rebbe Umerdi, or Shalom Alecha Rebbe, whatever, and then that's still considered Toch Kedei Dibur. That's one way of looking at it. And then another way is that it's in fact Daraisa, that the Torah assumes a person a person said something and he still has a certain, a couple of seconds to change his mind before he's irrevocably locked into it. We learned in the Dorim there are certain cases, certain things that a person says that are so serious, where a person to begin with says them with such kovad roish, with such seriousness and gravity, that there's no possibility that he would say it just as something that he hasn't completely made up his mind, and therefore they take effect. Even Toch Kedei Dibur, Kiddushin was one of them. A man says to a woman, Hareat Mekudeshesli, then even if he says, Toch Kedei Dibur, you're not Mekudeshes to me, it wouldn't matter. If he's Megadif, if he blasphemes Hashem, there's a couple of other things like that where we say that even Toch Kedei Dibur, he can't change his mind because these are things of such gravity that we expect the person would have put some thought into them in the first place. But other kinds of things, we say that he has Toch Kedei Dibur, and again, you have this point of whether you have this discussion of whether that leeway is Daraisa or Dirabon. Okay. Let's talk more about Hazama. So now we said that you could have a case, for example, where Edim come and are makhish other Edim, and you can have a case where they're mazim other Edim. Again, akhosha being where they say the actual facts that you're saying are wrong, because, for example, we were watching this guy the whole time when you say that he was Machal Shabbos or did whatever, and in fact he wasn't, or they say he was someplace else with us, or whatever it is, or even they say, for example, you're saying that Yankel killed Koppel, but he was Koppel right here. Right here, was walking into Beis Din right now, so obviously Yankel didn't kill him. So whatever, all that kind of thing is called Hakhosha. And then Hazama is, again, where the second set of Edim say, we don't know, maybe Yankel was Machal Shabbos, maybe Yankel killed couple, maybe whatever, but the fact is that you, Reuven and Shimon, can't be giving Edus on it because Imanu Hayisim Makom Pliny, you were with us elsewhere. So now let's talk about the interplay between those two things. Amar Rava, if you have Edim who first were contradicted by other Edim, and then later on they were muzam by Edim. So Rashi explains, for example, let's say, so you have Reuven and Shimon come to Beis Din and say that there was a murder. Two other Edim come and say there was not, so that the murderer himself was with the one that you're claiming was the murderer was with us elsewhere, or we were watching him, or the murder victim himself is right here, etc., etc. And then later on, another group comes and says Imanu Hayisem to the first group. So Rava says Neherogin, the first group is going to be killed on the grounds of Kasha Zoma. Because we're going to say the Hakosha is only the beginning of the Hazama process, Ela Shalei Nigmara just didn't finish. In other words, we don't say, like this we might have thought to say, once Levi and Yehuda come and say, well, look, Yankel couldn't possibly have killed Koppel because Koppel is right here, alive and well. So on the face of it, we should say, well, at that point, okay, we throw out the whole Eidos. We tell everybody, go gezunt hate, and we're not going to punish anybody. And obviously, Reuven and Shimon have been shown to be liars. Now, later on, if other Edom come and say, Reuven and Shimon, Imanu Hayisem, on the face of it, how can we punish them? It turns out their Eidos has already been contradicted. Rava says, no, we don't do that. We say the Hakosha that was done to begin with is like the first stage of the Hazama process. It just hadn't been finished yet. So therefore, we can still consider them Edim Zayman. We can still say that their Eidos is considered valid enough that now if other Edim were to come and be mazim them, then they would be punished as Edim Zayman. And Omar Rava Menah Minallah. So Rava says, where do I get that from? The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa. Suppose that two Edom come to Beis Din and they say, Mi'idani be'ish poini, Mi'idani, it's really supposed to be Mi'idanu, we are giving Edus, whatever, on ish poini, Shesima es ein avdoi. He blinded his Eved Knani, as we learned in Kedushin, as the Pasuk says, in Parashas Mishpatim, when a master blind knocks out the eye or tooth or any of 24 Roshei Evorim of an Eved Knani, then the Eved goes free. So, in this case, Edom come and say that the owner of this Eved blinded his Eved, the Hippolas Shinoi, and he knocked out his tooth. Now, the result of that would be the blinding him already makes that the Eved goes. So the Edom are claiming that he's chayev to free the slave because he knocked out his eye, and he's chayev to pay him the value of the tooth because he knocked out the tooth after the guy has already been churin. Shaharei harav oimakein, and the master himself is saying the same thing. Now, what do we mean by that? We'll explain soon in the Gemara what that phrase means. Anyway, v'nimtzu zomim. It turns out that these Edom are Edom zomim. Meshamin dmei ayin la'eved. Then they pay the Eved the value of his eye. So Rava says we have to figure out heichidami. What exactly is the case? Ilei mikid katoni. Do we mean the scenario is exactly the way it was, the way we read it on the surface in the Braisa, meaning the leka kat achrina? We have to assume there was no previous set of Edom. So what are we saying? What do you mean, Meshamin Dmei Ein La'Eved? What do you mean they pay the Eved the value of the eye? What's going on over here? With their false testimony, they're saying that the master has to free the Eved. So why should they also, if anything, they're going to be paying the master for the fact that they tried to deprive him of his Eved. They're going to be paying the value of the Eved. Why would we be mechayev them in the value of the eye? What detail about the eye is there that we should make them pay davka that rather than the value of the full Eved? In fact, the Mishnah Lamelech points out on the face of it, we have a concept with Edom Zomim that says kasha zaman v'loy kasha osam, that we can only be mechayev of them for being Edom Zomim only when they plan to be, only when they plan to get the guy punished, not when they actually caused it to happen. So for example, we have the concept called Hogu Einarogin, that if they caused the person they were testifying against falsely, that he ended up getting killed, then they themselves, we don't execute them as Edom Zomim. The Gemara there in Marcus learns it out from Psukim. The expression kasha zaman v'loy kasha osa, we don't find, is a very well-known expression. We actually don't find it in the Gemara there. Rashi is the first one who formulates it like that, and from there it became a commonplace expression. Why it is, that's a whole discussion among Mefoshim, one idea being that Ramban talks about, because after all, in that case, it turns out min hashamayim, apparently the guy did deserve to be punished, so therefore we can't punish the Edom Zomim. Another way of looking at it is because in that case, the Edom Zomim's crime is so great, because they actually caused the person to get killed, that even being executed as Edom Zomim is not going to be enough kapara for them. Whatever, that's how it is. Gzeres hakosim kasha zaman v'loy kasha osa. So the Mishnah Lamelech points out over here on the face of it, once they said the Edus, that the Eved goes free because the master knocked out his eye, so right away the Eved goes out l'cheiros, because after all, the Eved is his own owner in effect. In effect, you don't even need to get shichru or anything. As soon as their Edus is accepted and based in, then automatically the Eved now owns his own body. And then therefore he goes free. So isn't it kasha zaman b'loy kasha osa? How are we going to punish them as Edom Zomim? The Kovetz Shiurim, Rabbi Chanan Wasserman answers that no, if it turns out that they're Edom Zomim, it turns out there was never any shikru here in the first place, and then it turns out it was a mistake to think that the Eved owns himself, so therefore we can't call that kasha also. Anyway, the point is that Rava is saying, the problem is, the Braise is saying that they have to pay the value of the eye, but why are they paying the value of the eye? They should be paying the value of the Eved as a whole to the master, because they tried to deprive him of his Eved falsely, and therefore Kasha Zaman would require them to pay the value of the Eved. Who are they paying the value of the eye to? Where does that come in? And also Rava points out Sharei Harav Oimakein. What do you mean? Because the master is saying this, Harav Minichale, would the master appreciate their Edus? What do you mean? They're causing him to lose his Eben. So El Olav, we have to understand that the Braisa is only starting in the middle of the case. The case would be, in this part, the Braisa is not expressing this part, two Edom came to begin with, but Amri They come and testify that the master knocked out the slave's tooth and then blinded his eye. Now, if what they're saying is correct, then it would be then the other way around, then the master would he would have to set the eved free because of the tooth, and now he would have to pay the value of the eye, which is more valuable, because again, the same logic, in other words, that now the eved goes free as soon as the tooth was knocked out, and therefore he's chayev now for the value of the eye, because again, you have that they're testifying that now when the eved was a ben chor, and then the master and the former master knocked out his eye, and therefore he'd have to pay the value of an eye. Now you have another set of Edom came. Mitzioi means the middle one. We're calling them the middle ones in the sense that they're the middle because altogether, Rava is going to explain the scenario of the Braisa involves three sets of Edom. There was one set that the Braisa did not tell us that they came Bechlal. We have to infer it from the context. We have a second set, and then we have a third set that declares the second set Zom. The middle set of Edom come and say, Amri, and they say it was the other way around. Enoi, v'hodo shinoi, first the master knocked out his eye, then he knocked out his tooth. Now, if that was true, then it would be like we said originally. It would be that he'd go free because of the eye, and he'd pay him the value of the tooth. So when the Braisa starts, me'idani or me'idanu, be'ishpoini, that he knocked out his slave's tooth, that he's knocked out his slave's eye and his tooth, that would be the Braisa is starting in the middle of the story. The Braisa is not telling us that there was a previous set of Edom that said the opposite, because Rabbah is saying you can infer that from the context. You don't need to be told that explicitly. So now again, now if they're correct, if that second set of Edom is correct, it would turn out that the master only has to pay the value of a tooth, which is a lot less than the value of an eye. Now what happens is what we have over here is a case of hakosha. It comes out the second set are not being mazim the first set. They didn't say imonu ha'isim. They said maybe you were there, maybe you weren't. We don't know, whatever. But the fact is that it did happen. Like you said, there was an eye and a tooth involved, but you've got it backwards. It wasn't first the tooth then the eye. It was first the eye then the tooth. That's hakosha. And then that explains the expression in the Braisa that the master says like that, meaning the master prefers, he would like if Beis Din finds the second set of Edom to be correct, because after all, according to the first set, he's already, either way, he has to let the Eved free. But according to the first set, that the first came the truth, then come the eye, it comes out that he has to pay a very expensive damage of an eye, as opposed to, according to the second set, he gets away with only paying a much lesser damage of a tooth. So given that he's going to be losing the eved one way or the other, he would prefer that the second set turns out to be the valid aid. Then we have the Nimtzu Zomin Mitzioi. Now it turns out that a third set of Edom comes and declares the second set Zomin. So now we understand what the Braisa means, that they pay the value of the eye. Who are they paying it to the Eved? Because they were saying that the master owes him only the value of a tooth. Now it comes out that instead, really he owes him the value of an eye, like the first Edom said. So to be exact, he's not actually paying the full value of an eye in that case. He's paying the difference between the value of an eye and the value of a tooth. So say the eye is going to be $100 and the tooth is going to be $10. They're going to be paying $90. Whatever. The point is, there you have an example where there was hakosha and then there was hazama. And Rava says, therefore, shmamina hakosha tchilas hazama. So there you go, says Rava. You can see that hakosha is considered the beginning of hazama. Because after all, otherwise we would say that the first two sets of Edom cancel each other out. I think I skipped out a line over there. The first set contradict the second set. So like this again, you had a first set that came and said, first he knocked out his tooth, then he knocked out his eye. Now a second set comes and says the other way around. And now the Kamakashalekamoyalimtsioi, it's the first Adim are contradicting the second Adim. Actually, it doesn't even matter really what they say, whether they're saying no, what you're saying is not true. Either way, the point is we have a kosha, we have a contradiction between two sets of Adim. We can't decide between them, because again, so far there's no Hazama. Nobody said Imanu Hayisem. All it is the first set said truth, then I. The second one said I, then truth. So there's hakosha between the first and the second one. Nevertheless, we still say that when we're mazim the second set, they have to pay the value of the eye, or rather the difference between an eye and a tooth. So you see, we say hakosha tchilas hazamahi, because if we didn't say that, Ran Rava says, then what we would have to say is as soon as we makish the second set, then that's it. We throw out the whole case. There's no edus here at all, and then how could we consider them edim zomin? The fact that we say we consider them edim zomin and they have to pay the value of the eye shows that that even though there was hakosha, nevertheless there can still be hazama, which is called hakosha tchilas hazamahi. So that's how Rava is going to explain that yes, you see from that hakosha tchilas hazami. On the other hand, Omer Abaya loy. Abaya, on the other hand, disagrees and said no, and says no, it's not so. You could say, in fact, that when there's hakosha, then that's it. They can never become zomin again, because at that point their edus has been contradicted. Rather, we can say what could happen is that you don't have to say that there were three sets of Adim. You don't have to say, like you're saying, Rava, that it means the Braisa is starting in the middle of the story with the second set and didn't tell us anything about the first set. What it rather was is the second set of Adim are they're flipping around what the first set said, and in addition, they're also being mazim. So in other words, the first set comes and says, so the first set comes and says he knocked out his eye and then his tooth, which if that's true would mean the slave goes free because of the eye, and he has to pay him the value of the tooth. But now we're talking about a second set of Adam came and said two things. First of all, as far as the actual thing that happened, it was the other way around. They're saying that the second set says that first of all, Imanu Hayisem. So you can't be testifying about this at all. You're Adim Zayman. Now it is true that this master did knock out the eye and the tooth on a different day, which we're going to testify about. However, it was the other way around. It was the other way around. He knocked out the tooth and then the eye. So again, then therefore, so now that we found the first set to be Adim Zomin, so now we can say that they have to pay the value of the eye, because that's what they were trying to deprive the Eved of, because they were saying the other way around that he would go free because of the eye and only get the value of his tooth. And again, we can see the Braisa can still say, Shahre Harab Oy McLean, the master would have preferred it like that. He would have preferred that he only has to pay the value of a tooth. And now it turns out they're Adim Zomin, and therefore they're paying the value of an eye. So Abaya is saying, not like you, Rava, are saying, where first one set of Adim was makrish them, and then another set is mazim them. In fact, then we would say there's no such thing as Azama, because already the first Adim contradicted them, and that's that. What we're saying over here is that the second set of Adim flipped around the case and were mazim them. So therefore, obviously, we accept the second set, because that's how Hazama works. And in addition, since they are, after all, testifying that one way or the other, this Eved is going to go free, because they are agreeing that he did, that the master did knock out something of his, they're just saying it was the truth first, and only later the eye, then therefore it comes out that the Adim Zomin are going to be chayev to pay the value of the eye, which they were trying to deny. Rashi points out later on in the sugya, Abaya is going to explain, we'll learn this tomorrow, Bez Hashem, that we have to be talking about Kshomad Badin. We do have to be talking about that they already went to a Din Torah and the Dayanim told him to pay, because otherwise you'd have to pay the full value of an Eved, because after all they're trying to say that the Eved as a whole went free. So we'll get to that point tomorrow, Bez Hashem. So that's all according to Rashi. Tosfos discusses at some length over here and explains that Abaya also understands that we're talking about three sets of Adim, so he's not disagreeing with Rava, the Braisa is starting in the middle of the story, but rather he means, in other words, that what it means is the second set was mazim the first set and testified the opposite, and then the third set was mazim the second set, And now you have a case in now you have cases like that in Masechet Makos where it talks about you can have Reuven and Shimon come to testify about something, Levi and Yehuda come and say to Reuven and Shimon, Imanu Hayisim, and then Yisachar and Zvulun come and say to Levi and Yehuda, no, you were Imanu Hayisim. And the result is that Levi and the result is that Reuven and Shimon are exonerated because they're not Edim Zomim anymore, and Levi and Yehuda are the ones in trouble. So Tosfos explains that here we have Abaye is explaining the same kind of thing that we mean the seconds, unlike in Rava's case, the second set and the first set are only contradicting each other. There's no hazama yet. Only when we come to the third set is there hazama of the second set. Abaya, according to Tosfos, according to the Re in Tosfos, is learning the second set on Mazim, the first set, and then the third set on Mazim, the second set, which we uphold what the first set said. So now there's no hakhasha because to begin with we're only talking about hazama, and therefore again we're saying that the second set is going to have to pay the value of the eye, but that doesn't show anything Abai would say about hakhasha tchilas hazama because there's no hakhasha involved over here. So again, we're going to continue learning this tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, and we'll talk about that there is a. You have two cases in this braisa. You have a resha and you have a sefer, which we'll learn the sefer tomorrow, and we're going to end up saying that Rava learns his din about chosh of tchilas hazama from a different part of the braisa, which we'll quote tomorrow, and then therefore so it would come out therefore. So then in that case, Abaya and Rava don't necessarily have to learn this resha any different, and it would mean therefore when the Gemara says that Abaya said such and such, doesn't necessarily mean that Abaya actually said that. It means the Chachmei HaYeshiva, when they were discussing what would Abaya say if Rava's proof was from the resha, he would say such and such. As we often find in the Gemara, that when it says that somebody said such and such, doesn't actually mean that he actually said that, but if we took a tape recorder, we would actually have ever caught him saying that, rather that we can infer that this is what he would have said if this discussion had taken place based on his known shitta. And we'll continue discussing that point and the whole discussion between Abaya and Rava about this whole matter of Akhosha and Azama. We'll continue discussing it tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem.